David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is Stacey from The Advisor, and today I'm really excited because we have a very, very, very special guest today on our show. It is Andy Way, and Andy is an amazing person. He is a coach, a speaker, and an author, and he has an amazing story to tell, and he has some programs that he'd like to share and the steps in the program that he feels can change people's lives. Now, before we begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. It is the Happy Wellness Expo. They're going to be in Livingston, New Jersey, and they are doing an expo with over 100 exhibitors. It's all on natural products. There'll be doctors, coaches there, and different technologies available to you. So check it out. We'll have the information in our description box. And if you want to actually participate, his number will be there also, and you can contact him directly. So Andy, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Well, Stacey, thank you for having me on. Happy to. I'm a proud husband and father, and I'm an author, speaker, and a coach. I've turned my book into a program and lead these adventuremen roundtables for small groups of men. So that's been a lot of fun. And I do a podcast.
You know, you told me that you were really inspired. Your true passion came from your story, your life that you had experienced, that you had an incident with your son. You went through this whole thing, and it really put you on this track, on this road. And I'd like you to share with the audience a little about your story, if you don't mind, because I think they would really be touched by it and really see where all this true passion and love and the reason why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, great. Happy to. I was a single father for 6 years and eventually did remarry. And my wife and I have been together for 13 years now. And Drew was about 7 or 8 when she and I started dating. And I had always really done all I could to be the best father I could for Drew. He is my only son. And I just love the heck out of him, right? And so I wanted to be the best dad I could. So I immersed myself into the conversation of fatherhood and relationships and also how that related to like raising boys in our culture today. And so modern culture came into that. And but in sixth grade, things started to change. And we found ourselves at the beginning of what became a 6-year-long battle to save his life. He was really struggling with cutting and bulimia, which led to medications, and then severe acute situational anxiety, depression, and then drug and alcohol abuse. And so this was when you're in it and it's evolving, you don't really know what that next thing's going to be. And you're just doing everything you can. Lord knows you don't want to see your son struggle like that. And the real challenge was that I alone couldn't save him. And so it really took its toll.
You know, it's really hard when we go through life. Life has obstacles, and we don't sometimes really know, what is going to happen. Now, did you lose your son?
No, thank God. Right. I mean, he's an EMT today.
Wonderful.
We made it through to the other side. And
that is wonderful. Yeah. Because, life has so many obstacles, and there are times where people are able to help, their child, and their child is at the point where, they want help also, and they want change. And with the proper guidance and the proper help, it's possible for anyone to change in life. You just have to be willing, and you have to have someone there to help you and guide you and support you. And it's possible, and for in any situation. And, for you, this must have been a very traumatic event, because especially when it's your child, you watch your child suffering, you watch your child going through all this, and you're basically the caretaker. So, So it's very hard because you don't have really control over the situation. You have some control, but not really. It's really in your son's hands, and it's really in God's hands, and it's really, you really all you could do is be a support and a love, and be able to figure out a way that might help your child. Now, that must have been very traumatic for you. How did you feel going through that?
It was, Stacy. It was a bit traumatic. I think I'm still healing, to be honest. He and I were talking a little bit about it just last night, and through some exchanges via text and a second phone call after he left home, and was just heading back. And so, it was. I had closed my business to pour everything I had into him, and really one of the things that helped me to heal. It was late one night. If you've been in that space before in your life, then you know how insular it can get. You can kind of feel alone. You're not having typical healthy interactions with the world around you, your friends and family. So, but it was late one night, and I discovered on YouTube this adventure motorcycle riding video. But and I'm not a motorcycle guy. I'm from the Southeast Coast. I'm a boater, and so I didn't really know where this came from. But when I saw it, there was this drone footage of these guys riding motorcycles in the backcountry of Colorado. And it just lit me up. You know, how badly did I want that sense of just camaraderie and connection and fun and kind of that boyish sense of adventure. And so I really responded to that video. And a month later, bought my first motorcycle and taught myself how to ride. And it really instilled in me this capacity to start to heal and grow stronger for the road ahead, for sure.
I find it's like it's amazing. Sometimes, things are just put in front of us for a reason. And it's that intuition, it's that connecting with your inner self. And sometimes things just happen and you just know it's the right choice. Like, oh my God. You just feel there's a connection there. You're not really sure exactly at the moment what the connection is, but you could feel that connection. And I always say, like, that intuition, just go with your intuition. Your intuition will never steer you wrong. That's how I feel. And
100%.
how did you feel when you got that motorcycle and you started to ride and you started to take those adventures that you were talking about?
Yeah, it's been a well, everything that I'm doing today is born out of that experience. So the first time I started to ride, what was fun, my wife didn't like the fact that I rode a motorcycle, and that's kind of a common conversation, right? Any guy who wants to ride a motorcycle, she's like, no. But I'll tell you, she didn't like it, but she loved the way that I came home. And I did too. You know, I got a chance to feed me, and I got a chance to connect with that again, that kind of like boyish sense of adventure. I felt more alive. And, there was something about it. And I'd go off, and it's not a Harley, these adventure motorcycles. These are kind of big off-road dirt bikes that are street legal. And so I was always out going and exploring backcountry roads and these gravel roads out, and I'd go, as far as kind of an hour and a half away and back in a single day, and I just it instilled in me, yeah, this capacity to heal and grow stronger, and at the same time, Drew was growing stronger and healing, and so, but and I started to unpack what that was and why is it important.
I feel like sometimes when you show yourself some self-love, it makes you a better person all around. And when you're able to love yourself and you're able to grow stronger from that self-love, you're able to help the people around you better. Because I feel like so many people go through the, especially parents, they feel guilty or shameful to show themselves some self-love because they feel like they have to put everybody around them first. That's their job. But then if you don't take care of yourself and you don't give yourself self-love, how are you able to actually help the people around you and love the people around you when you can't even love yourself and care for yourself to get you to that point where you have enough of resilience to take care of the ones you love?
Absolutely right. I call it kind of capacity or margin. We can't be, have like in a car with the RPMs, that needle can't be just pegged where you just have no capacity for anything other than perfect day, or you're just kind of wrecked. Somebody cuts you off and you just explode, or you can't live like that. I mean, I think that our kids can feel our nerves like that. And
Oh, for sure.
isn't that kind of setting it up. Like we're putting a lot of weight on our on the excuse of our children.
Yeah.
When they are the the causation of every experience we have. I think that we do need to be kind to ourselves. And in this hypercritical world, you know, it's not cool to necessarily have OCD. People kind of brag about it, it seems. And it's like, well, that's a disorder.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
There's nothing good about it. Yeah, that's not good, right? That stems from something that's not healthy. And we do need to do the work to take really good care of ourselves so that we're not always kind of tank empty. It's okay to put some fuel in your tank when you're at three quarters of a tank as a as a human, right?
So, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
100%. Now, you wrote a book and it was based on adventure. And it was, can you tell us a little about the book? I know you have the book with you, so I want you to show everybody the book and tell us a little about it and what made you always adventure. What made you want to write this? Because I know when I write books, there's an inspiration behind it. I just don't pick up a pen. There's a reason for it. What is your reason for writing that book?
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I wanted to be able to better tell our story so that others could not have to go through some of the experiences that I had gone through.
Right.
I only am careful only to tell my experience of what we went through. Mm-hmm. And I don't tell Drew's story or my wife's story. And the book is really set up where I tell a personal story from my life and I connect it to a lesson learned in these practices that really anybody can implement and take action on, you know, starting right where they are.
Now, what are these practices? Because this is your coping skills of how you got through all this, right?
Definitely in part, for sure. I still practice these things today. So, yes.
So what helped you?
Yeah, so they didn't come in order, right? There's these five practices. That's the practice of allowing is number one. The practice of gratitude is number two. The practice of exploring the unknown or getting uncomfortable is three. Exploring the unknown is four, and seeking excitement is number five. And they each have a specific primary outcome.
Right. Now, can you tell us and like get a little bit, dive a little bit deeper into those practices? Because when people go through things in life, especially when they have people they love and they have their, you know, these people are going through really traumatic events in their lives and they're there to help them and they're doing everything they can, but they don't see improvement and they don't see, you know, they just don't know what to do. And they need, you know, some type of guidance. And, you know, you're showing them self-love. You're showing them different ways of coping with problems and different ways of, you know, rising above the chaos, getting that courage and being able to move on with their lives. Like, you know, can you go into a little bit more depth of, you know, if you had to tell people that are going through, you know, traumatic events or they have someone they love in their life and, you know, that person is on the wrong path and that person is going through things and you're sitting on the sideline and you only have so much power and so many things you can do, you know, what's your advice to these people? Like, how do you help someone when it is that they're at a point where, you know, they're so deep into the hole that, you know, you just don't know where to begin. It's like a highway and you just don't know which lane to turn.
Sure. Well, I think that several things pop up. We have to be in action in order for life to help us better understand which path to go down. So, you know, ducking our head in the sand doesn't work. And so, and I know that before all of this, there's particularly with our children, when we are our kind of late teen, early 20s children, they're kind of, you know, junior, senior high school, going to college, you know, or even it can start earlier, like it did for me.
Yeah.
We have to, as parents, at some point, trust the seeds that we've been planting. And we have to kind of let go of our need to control the outcome. until our children choose, right, to take care of themselves and to, you know, some internal motivation, it doesn't matter how tight we squeeze until they begin to choose for themselves, right? 100%. And so letting go of our need to control the outcome is key, and we have to hand the reins over to them. And that was incredibly difficult for me to do. And that's some, that's why I, how I learned the lesson.
Right.
And we had to get help. We had to let others really help us.
Yeah.
Individually, as a family, as a co-parenting family, we did a lot of work, and we had, it took a lot of effort to just kind of to trust and to allow people into that conversation on such a, you know, kind of a deep heartfelt level.
Right.
It's kind of a tender space, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think one big problem I see is I see a lot of people enable their children or enable the person they love. And it doesn't make the situation any better. It actually worsens the situation because they know that you're there. They know that if they keep behaving or keep doing these things, that there's no consequences and that you'll always be there, you know, no matter what. And, you know, did you go through that period? Because it seems like you went through that period and you really had to, you know, not enable and let go.
Well, it was, so, you know, I was in a co-parenting relationship, and, in, you know, in the other side of that coin, her love language was enablement. Not saying no was the love language. And so she, a powerful enabler, never said no. And so parenting kind of against that was like parenting up a raging river. It was very, very challenging to do. I definitely believe in some basic healthy structures, healthy boundaries, and some, you know, effective, reasonable consequences, right?
Right.
But that was it was just like, again, parenting up a raging river. So it was really hard to counteract that when you're talking about consequences or and right and wrong and things like that. So definitely have experience with it.
What was the first thing that you did that started you to actually see progress in the relationship between you and your son? Like, what are some of the things that you started to do that really made an impact? Because if, let's say, if there were people here right now and these listeners are saying, okay, I'm in a similar situation, like, what do I do? What do you tell those people?
You know, I think that you have to trust that what you've done to date, you have that those seeds are in there, right? So you never lose hope. I know that it gets, trust me, a 6-year-long battle was not inconsequential. I mean, our situation was, so that, you know, I can relate, is that it didn't matter who we were talking to and their level of their experience and the amount of money we were spending in the caliber of that care and the specialization of that care. When you're talking about a residential therapeutic boarding school, if you've ever had to make that decision, I know how incredibly difficult that is. And we were a highly complex scenario in the world of highly complex scenarios.
Right.
And so, you know, allowing, you know, trusting that the seeds are good, allowing people in and following that model. If there is a place that you have chosen for support, you do have to trust it. You do have to do what they say. That's why you're paying them. And let it run its course. And you might have to do it twice. We certainly did. I mean, most of the other students at the residential therapeutic boarding school, you know, it was typically a 6-month program.
Right.
Drew was there for 14. And then he came home and then he ultimately went back again.
Mm-hmm.
All his entire high school was there.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just atypical. But we believed in that and the heart they had for him. We believed in their ability.
Yes.
Right. So they had an earnest heart. They had, and we just had more work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had to continue to pour into him for sure.
And I think people have to realize that everybody is different. So what one person, how one person reacts or how long it takes one person to get to point B is not necessarily going to be the same for another person. So one thing people have to remember is never compare your situation with somebody else's situation, because it doesn't even matter if you're in a very similar situation, you know, what one family does or how long it takes or the things, the methods they have to use might be beneficial for them, but it may not be beneficial for you and your family. And I think a lot of people in our society tend to compare and they tend to try to follow other people's paths. And it's good to get ideas from other people's paths,
right.
But it's not good to think in your head that everything should be done accordingly, exactly the way this other person did, and then expect the same results, because everybody is different.
Yeah, there's definitely a need. And I was kind of doing this all the time anyways, where like our family therapist was like, Andy, be kind to yourself, because I was constantly kind of analyzing myself as, you know, as his father, you know, right. Like what could I have done better? Or what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I was constantly in that conversation for myself. And the other side of that coin is true too, that it is important for some honest self inventory. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you ever want to see, I heard this recently and it's absolutely the truth. If you ever want to see what somebody's committed to, look at the outcomes in their life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, think about your priorities and the decisions you make and how we're modeling as parents.
Right.
And then let your child be themselves. I mean, if Drew dyed his hair purple or pink, it didn't mean that that was the sum total of his identity and who he was as a person.
Exactly.
He's just trying some stuff on in the world. It's
exactly.
not that serious.
Yes.
No, it's just not that serious. We got to let him grow up.
Exactly.
Make some mistakes, fail forward. I mean, it's not, yes, our children are a reflection of us as parents, but not entirely either. They
yes.
are their own identity.
Oh, they for sure their own identity. You know, I always say this, I said it on many shows, you know, we had a doctor come on and he was talking about how when the egg rolls down the fallopian tube, you've already, that egg has already had developed 240 characteristics of their personality already. So when you think of that, you know, they are who they are. They may have some similar traits as us. They may learn from our environment, but they are their own individual person. And you do have to let them grow and you do have to let them be their own person, because when you don't, that's when you see the unhappiness, when they grow up and they didn't get to be who they wanted to be because they were stopped or they were told they couldn't, you know, that sticks with a person as a child and through their grown-up years. And I think like another good point you mentioned is that you kind of beat yourself up, and we do that all. I think a lot of parents do that. I could have did this better. I could have did that better. I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I could have done this. You know, what did I do wrong? You know, we have to realize as parents that we all make mistakes. We do the best we can, you know, with the tools we have. You can't change the past. And I always say the past is the past. You can't change the past, but we can focus on the present and take the things we learned from the past and apply it to today's life in the now and make better choices and make a better person in the future. But I think the biggest thing I see so many people, and we've all done it, including myself, is we beat ourselves up sometimes for things that have happened. And that's one of the, I think, the worst things we could do to ourselves emotionally. And I think it affects us even physically.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
What do you think?
Oh, for sure. I think that, you know, in a world where, look, the work that I do with my clients, we start with clarity, right? So if we don't have any clarity, then every single person, company, you know, anybody who wants our time, talent, and treasure, right, and attention, mm-hmm. then we just give it away.
Right.
No wonder we have such an overwhelming amount of anxiety and overwhelm in our country. Our country. It's an emotional health battle because everybody's so attached to their phone.
Right.
You know, that that anybody who wants your time, talent, and treasure, your energy, you just give it to them.
Yeah.
It's almost like carte blanche. Oh, you need me? Oh, because you, right? That you're gonna wrestle with anxiety and overwhelm when you're living like that. With yes. clarity, right? Once you slow down to speed up,
mm-hmm. right?
Take the time to get clear about what you want, where you want to go, what you want to accomplish as a mom, as a dad.
Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, professionally for yourself, in relationship with yourself, your partner, your family and friends, your children.
Yeah.
Get that clarity. And then what's that look like?
Right.
And then how do we do that? And then you align your actions in support of that clarity. And now you know what to say yes to, and you know what to say no to. And yeah. if it's in alignment with what you want your life to look like, then great, say yes. If it's not, stop giving all everything away.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And you'll experience far more calm and capacity and peace and ease and joy if you slow down long enough to just get some clarity and learn how to say no.
Yes. And I think that's a big problem with people is they don't know how to say no. And I think it really hurts them a lot, you know, in the long run. I think that's great advice. Now, besides clarity, what are some other things that you suggest to your clients that work really well to help them in situations similar to yours?
Sure. So, you know, in the book, I set up really in kind of two parts. You know, in the work, I dive deeper into this process with an assessment, and we go through some actionable concepts. But the two parts, one and two, so we'll focus there. I've learned this last, the practice of allowing. The outcome for the practice of allowing is change. It's the yes. catalyst for all change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have some friends, and one in particular comes to mind, brilliant, brilliant guy. But I had already gone through what he was going through.
Yeah.
And he would ask some questions and we would meet for lunch and so forth. But there was nothing I could say. Like he couldn't hear anything.
Right.
I've been in a high level coaching programs with brilliant, accomplished, smart people.
Yeah.
But they couldn't hear.
Yeah.
You know, and they had all these limiting beliefs and they would not allow themselves to believe in a different possibility.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's kind of, will you allow yourself to give yourself some grace? Will you allow yourself to get complete with that old story, that anchor that you're dragging around through life that's just yeah. not true? Will you allow yourself to do the work to get complete so that you can move forward?
Right.
Right? Will you allow yourself to trust in the guidance that you're seeking yeah. or even to begin to seek guidance from right. another source? Right. And to yeah. trust them. So the practice of allowing is huge, and nothing really happens at all until we understand that and yeah. start to take steps forward to, you know, really practice allowing and make a shift in our lives.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, we have to allow and let change enter our lives. And what do you say to the people who are fearful of change? Those people who are afraid of change? They're afraid to face it. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of what if, you know, who will I become? What's going to happen if I allow this change into my life? You know, what do you tell those people?
Well, we actually touch heavily on that in practice number three. But so happy to get there and address that head on. I love it. What if, right? But I would also say that, you know, look, time is not stopping.
Mm-hmm.
We live in an ever-changing, rapidly evolving world.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not cognizant of that and intentionally aware about kind of what's happening around us and how
yeah.
we're setting ourselves up to suffer the pain of regret later.
Yes.
So while those things may be uncomfortable, we're going to have an experience of life either way.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you practice allowing and we step into the next practice is the practice of gratitude.
Yeah.
Right. And that the outcome for the practice of gratitude is positivity.
Mm-hmm.
And those two really prepare us for the road ahead.
Oh,
you know, it's,
sure.
It's important to infuse some positivity into our lives.
Yeah. You know, I believe positivity is key. You know, that's what got me through my life is taking everything that happened in my life and looking at the positive. You know, even negative things that occurred in my life, I always pulled out something positive because I felt like when I did that, it made me stronger. How did this make me a better person? Did it give me experience? How can I use it to help myself? You know, and I would look at the positive, and when I stopped looking at the negative, and I always looked at the positive, it made me feel better as a person. And then I feel like when you have gratitude, I think one thing we lack in our society, a lot of people, is we have a lack of gratitude, and people don't realize, you know, what they have until they lose it. And the littlest things in life, the simplest little things in life, once you lose that, you don't realize how important it was in your life until it's taken away from you.
100%. And it can be so simple too. I mean, the gratitude, it's absolutely, it's incredibly powerful, right? In this world of comparison, you know, it's baffling, you know, what cars cost today, or even a decent, you know, a nice meal out. It's expensive.
It is.
And you know, if we live in this world of just kind of hyper comparison and this idea of I want, you know, that thing or this idea and I don't have it, this idea of lack, right? Then, you know, the practice of gratitude, the way I started to do it when I first started and still today, is I would have some practice. I'd practice gratitude a little bit in the morning. I called it bookending my days. I do a little bit in the morning, a little bit at night. You know, just grateful for my rest, grateful for the day ahead, grateful that I can walk and my heart beats and I can see and hear and smell and taste, right? And so I was just grateful. I have a family and friends who love me. The simplest things I was just
Simplest
grateful
thing.
for. And that just really infuses you. I kind of relate to it like some armor for the road ahead before the day starts to, you know, I can really immerse myself in just some positive goodness. And that really helps.
Now, how do you incorporate positivity into your life, you personally?
The practice of gratitude, that's the outcome.
Okay, so you use, okay, I see.
So that's the primary outcome for the practice of gratitude is positivity. And it just
Gotcha.
really, right? You're grateful. I do these walking meditations out in this park near our house, and you just feel so positive after you've been out there in nature and you're kind of just spending some time with God or, you know, higher power, and just stepping away for a minute to go do that and take care of me, is really, it just makes everything better.
No, it
Even
really
though I might
does.
still have a hard day ahead, I'm starting in a stronger position than just getting up and rushing out.
I love the idea of like maybe just taking a walk, looking at nature, breathing in the air, looking at the trees or the flowers, you know, so things like little things like that. And sometimes even paying attention to the sounds around you, maybe the birds or, you know, a little chirping here and just looking at things or, you know, spotting a butterfly on a flower, you know, these things they kind of change your momentum. They change your energy. They change the way you feel. And it actually could be really positive. Now, have you ever, you know, what's your thoughts about like journaling? Do you like the concept of it? Do you practice it?
I would say that I practice it irregularly. You know, I think there are times where I feel like, oh, I have some stuff I want to kind of like give birth to or get out of me or capture. Or sometimes it's just an opportunity to move through some thoughts, emotions, or feelings I might be having, you know, where I'm just going to get this stuff out of me. And next thing you know, I kind of connect with something more meaningful, it turns out. It can be as simple as a free writing exercise. And next thing you know, some of those free writing exercises that I went through when I was preparing for the book were incredibly powerful kind of messages about, you know, my son and my, you know, how I felt about him and just how much I loved him, you know. And so there were some powerful, I used to get significant stage fright, and I would go to open mic nights in other areas of town and read my free writes just to get used to being up on stage and practice getting uncomfortable. It really helped, but.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Did you get to any point where you felt maybe angry at why all this was happening? Did you have to learn how to let go of that anger? Because a lot of times we go through life, it's like, you know, so many people will say, why me? Why is this happening? You know, what did I do that I deserve something like this to happen to me? You know, and then not knowing the future and not knowing what's ahead and the frustration and just feeling lost. You know, were these emotions that you went through? And if they were, how did you overcome it?
Absolutely. I had those those emotions. Sometimes to the point where it scared me. I mean, even in the middle of the night, and I just hugged my wife because it startled me.
Yeah.
I had a lot of anger. I felt like I had, you know, I'm from the Southeast Coast and I live in the Midwest, and I felt like I'd kind of surrendered a dream of being on the water. And I'd grown up like Huck Finn with a motor on the Intercoastal Waterway and lived on a sailboat and was out to sea in the Navy. Before living here, my whole life was the ocean.
Right.
And so I had some animosity that I felt like I had given up my family and, my passion to pour into my son, and I was giving him everything I had.
Yeah.
And I felt like kind of some of those, his mother's behaviors were causing all of these things. And,
right.
And so I had a lot of anger that I poured out so much. And it was constant. It was just a constant thing. So I had a lot of anger, and I had to really release that, right? The practice of allowing some grace, slow down to kind of give some perspective to where she's coming from. And that took a lot of work, a lot of help.
But
that took a lot of patience, grace. And just kind of releasing that anger too. There's just a lot of work I had to do to release it, because it's not going to help. Right. It's not going to help Drew.
Right.
It's not going to help me.
Right.
Just to be angry.
Yeah.
At some point it's like, is that what you want to do? Is that how you want to feel all the time? Just angry? Yeah,
exactly.
I can't control her. You can only control what you can control, and everything else, you really need to question how you relate to it. Because if you're walking around just buried in anger, like I was, for a while, I was very angry. I was very sad as well. But that's certainly an unhealthy thing to be walking around. And it's something I would encourage people to try to get rid of as fast as possible.
Right. Do you feel like maybe verbalizing it to other human beings and to be able to get support and maybe to get an unbiased opinion or direction is really helpful?
Yeah. You know what? We had a lady, Gail English, is our therapist. And she was working with Drew and then with me and then with my wife and I. And sometimes we have an appointment with, it's been years now.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have a meeting with Gail on a Saturday morning, and there's nothing wrong. My wife and I are perfectly happy. We have a great relationship with Drew. I mean, for the most part, right? Like everything's, but we just get to kind of check our blind spots.
Right.
And so I think it's really important not to be aware of when we are not in maintenance, right? Or we don't need to set ourselves up to be in a position where we react to life as it happens to us.
Yeah.
Versus generating our life in alignment with our heart and vision and what we truly care about, and set ourselves up, you know, like really to have a full tank of gas, right?
Yeah.
Are we taking care of ourselves in every way that we can? Critically important.
Well, I think we have to realize when it comes to life, we don't have control. And I think that's when we have to really, you know, learn to let go. Because, you know, if you keep trying to think that you have control and you keep trying to control a situation, the situation is not going to get better, and neither are you, I feel like.
I mean, it's a bit cliche, right? We can control how we react to things. We can control our emotional, right? Our thoughts.
Yes, 100%.
You know, the meanings, we can control the meanings we give things, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We can control our beliefs.
Right.
And so that we can, and everything else. And they also, it's just not that serious. Some things you just kind of have to,
yeah,
you play a little bit.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's the fifth practice, and it's twofold. And so, you know, we had talked about allowing and gratitude. There's, you know, and then the next, right, is when we really get into work, the practice of getting uncomfortable, exploring the unknown, and seeking excitement.
Yeah.
And that fifth one is about play, right? It's about relaxing a little bit intentionally and giving yourself some space to be happy, be kind of childlike and playful. Lord knows, Gail had really encouraged me to, you know, I can feel all the feels in that and be with that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But it's also important to, go play a little bit and allow myself to do that too.
Right. That's really good advice. You know, that's definitely good advice. Now, if we could take everything that we've gone over today, what are some of the things you'd like to emphasize, some takeaways that you really want the listeners to really learn from everything that you've, you know, talked about in this session?
Real quick, it would be that you got to let go of your need to control the outcome in your children.
Right.
Right. And let them show up. Number two is allowing. If you can't receive because you're just too tender or too, you got too much armor on and you know everything and you have no blind spots and you have it all figured out, that's a dangerous thing. I would seriously consider you thinking about, you know, allowing and giving consideration, allowing people to pour into you and trust that they love you, right? And trust that that process will work and trust yourself, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big one. And then start getting uncomfortable. You got to get clarity, right? So I can't say just one, I guess, right? Clarity, you got to start to get uncomfortable and you don't have to have it all figured out.
Right.
You know, allow things to unfold.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, people want, you know, and people in our society especially want 1, 2, 3 answers, and it doesn't work like that. It, you know, everything takes time and change takes time. And, you know, you have to just, like you said, let everything unfold, and it takes time to unfold and just be patient. Like you mentioned, you talked about patience also.
For sure.
Very true. Now, can you show everybody your book again so they know?
Yeah. Yeah, happy to. Yeah, it's on Amazon. I'd love for you to check it out. I was kind of shy about this book for a long time, but I definitely poured my heart into it. The reviews have been great. And so I'd love for you to check it out and pull some nuggets out of there.
And what services do you have on your website? Because I know you have the programs and you have a whole bunch of stuff. Can you tell everybody what you offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So the primary thing that I'm most excited about, I turned that book into a program. I have a partnership with the Institute for Experiential Learning and go through this whole process. What I'm most excited about are these Adventuremen Roundtables. They are kind of dedicated to dads and generally just men that are kind of 35 to 55 years old. And, you know, they're smart, they're accomplished, but they want to connect deeper and push further and grow. And so these Adventuremen Roundtables, it's on the site. I also do coaching, one-on-one coaching, and I speak as well. So,
oh, that's awesome. Now, what is your domain name where people can find you?
AlwaysAdventureLife.com.
I love it. Okay. And you are on social media also?
I am. You can certainly connect with me on LinkedIn and anywhere there's an Andy Way or an Always Adventure, that's me. And so typically LinkedIn or Facebook and happy to connect. You can shoot me a message or shoot me an email at andy@alwaysadventurelife.com. Happy to support you and get to know you.
I love it. This has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming today and talking to us. We'd love to have you back. This has been really special because I think, you know, everyone goes through really traumatic events in our lives at one point or another, several times, some for us. and learn in different ways of coping with different situations, we could actually apply to more than just that type of situation. We could apply it to various things in our lives. You know, it's their coping skills. And if you learn coping skills, you could virtually apply it almost to everything, just alter and tweak a little bit, and it could help you through your entire life. So I think what you're doing is great. I think what you're doing can help many, many, you know, thousands of people out there, because we all go through things in life. But the thing is, people don't know where to begin. Where do I start? And your book tells it all. Your website has everything. Your program has everything you need. So everybody, take a look at Andy's website and look at his program, and especially his book on Amazon, because, you know, when it comes to life, we all go through things in life. You know, I've gone through things. I know everybody has gone through things, but finding the answers and finding productive ways and like some guidance can make a huge difference in people's lives. So check out Andy's work, check out his website. And once again, kudos to everything you're doing. You took a very, you know, traumatic event in your life and you used it as a learning experience. And then now you're using it to help others. So I give you kudos for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been an honor being on the show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.